bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. I'd like to take our Christian hymnals and turn over to page 276. There are a lot of things important in life, but I believe that this is probably the very most important thing. The question, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let's all of us stand. 276. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood? When the bridegroom cometh, robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb. Will your soul be ready for mansions bright? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, white as snow? Are you washed in the blood? That last verse says, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let's sing that. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. For the soul unclean, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing seated? Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to Thee this morning. We thank Thee for the privilege of being able to gather together with fellow believers. We thank Thee, Lord, for the Word of God that we can read and study and know that it is a firm foundation. We thank Thee, Lord, for the old hymns of Zion that have been sung down through the years and the blessing of God upon those words that have been penned by holy men of God. We pray that Thou will just be with us this morning as we look into Thy Word. Thou would open our hearts and our minds and help us, Lord, to lean heavy upon Thee and to allow Thee to speak to us in Thine own way. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. I'd like to look, if you want to follow along with me, over in to 2 Timothy. The fourth chapter. I believe this sort of sums up Paul's life and gives us a good example for each one of us to, like Paul said, that we follow him as he follows Christ, and that we can live a life that others can look at and follow us as we follow Jesus. 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He was writing this letter to Timothy. And then in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departing is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychius have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou where also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and shall preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then maybe we should read that very last verse of the chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thee, with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. It's always sad when you see one of the godly men or women of the gospel that you really had a lot of confidence in and really appreciated their lives. And you maybe sat and listened to the messages or the topics or the Sunday school, and it did something for you. Or maybe you sat and listened to the sister, she taught the class, and you knew that her life backed up what she said, and she was consistent in what she did. And it's very sad, I think, to all of us when we see someone like that coming down to the end of life and life is about gone, and we know we're going to lose a saint out of our midst. We know we're going to lose someone that lived a holy life and someone who was consistent. And it is sad to us. And Paul, now, as he was writing this letter to Timothy, it was a wonderful testimony that he had. He said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I believe that he knew that his time was just about over. But he had a good testimony, and he said that, I have fought a good fight. He wasn't floating along on flowery beds of ease, but he said, I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. He received the faith first of all, and he walked in the light, and as he walked in the light all the way through the book of Acts, as we looked at that, we could see how that he received more faith. And it seemed like he disregarded his own feelings and the circumstances and even his life at times, and simply his eye was fixed upon God to do what God wanted him to do. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So it's not just for Paul, but if you love the Lord, it's for you too. And it's for me, if we love the Lord. And that's the most important thing in life, is that we properly prepare. There was an old man, father of a young fellow that I went to Bible school with, and he said, it's here we must prepare. Prepare. This earth is just my proving ground, and it's here we must prepare, properly prepare. And then he said again, in the song he wrote, and I'm not getting it just right, but that this earth is just my proving ground. It's just a place, jumping off, if you put it that way, to come to God. I have to think of someone getting ready to dive into a pool of water, and I'm not a very good one at that, let me tell you. I can swim a little bit, and I can dive a little bit, and sometimes I come down the wrong way, and you know what that does. But Some of them just come right up, get right ready, and then just dive. Just perfect land in there and down with hardly a ripple. And me, I make several ripples. But the preparation part, back on this foot and on that foot and looking at the water and calculating how far it is down there and how much of a push you need to do before you jump, that's more than anything else about it, I think, for me. But this earth is just a place where we prepare to launch out into the great eternity. And it's a place that we don't want to make any mistakes as far as getting everything in order, ready to take that last leap and gravity losing its force. I heard one person, or I read it in a book, they said it's just, and I don't believe it is this way, as a preacher that I had lots of questions about. Somebody gave me a book and I glanced through it, and he said it's just something like you just jump out into the dark. But for the Christian, I don't believe that's the way it is. I'm glad that I think that we can have the light on the way as we go, and when we come to the end of life, then it's not darkness and the river of death. There's a number of people have mentioned it's just like a little trickling stream as we put our faith and keep our faith in God. And we can launch out, we can go on a cross in the light of God's divine word that is solid, and it will hold us and it will keep us in life, it'll keep us in death. Just yesterday, I guess it was, this situation came up that brought a lot of this to my mind. a couple days ago, my sister in Pennsylvania called me, and she said, "Steve, mother's in the hospital." And, of course, when you go on long trips, when people leave for a time, a lot of times you think about some of those things. And I wondered, and we still don't know. We took her up to my sister in St. Charles, and then she was going to go with her on a plane on out there. And, you know, the last words that you talk, you wonder, will those be the last words that you ever say to them? And you never know. It's all in the Lord's hands. But it was one of those times when I especially thought about that. And she said, yes, and she had just made her bed after getting up in the morning and sat down in the rocking chair to have her devotions, and said, "I came into the bedroom and she'd just got a call from a sister that had flown back to St. Charles, but she knew something's wrong." She said, something's wrong. And so they hung up the phone for that while and said, "It's like I've got a lot of pressure in my chest, a lot of pressure. And she said her color was horrible. Her color was really bad. She's 87 years old. And you know, the scripture says that 80, and if by strength, 80. So that means 70 years, and if by strength, 80 years. And there may be, I don't know if there's anyone that's over 80 years here, but you know, we get on up a little closer and we realize that life is pretty fragile, pretty fragile. And anyway, they got her to the hospital. Her heart was real erratic, out of fib, whatever they call it, in and out. And some of you know what that means by experience. But they got it stabilized and put on IVs and all the things that goes along with that. And then the next morning, my sister called me and said that they're going to run whatever it is up into the heart, catheterization, and check and see if anything's plugged up, check things out. You know, why is it that when we physically or spiritually come to the end of life, that all of a sudden we really are looking at things and we want to know if there's a problem, if there's anything wrong? Some of us stay away from the doctor if at all possible. Probably a lot of us maybe feel that way. If I have to go, then I'll go, and that's fine. But if I don't, I'm going to stay away. But how much better would be to have things in line and in order and not fear when you go in that he points his finger at you and say, now listen here, this is completely out of order and you're going to have to knuckle in, you're going to have to get things lined out, have to get things straightened up. Well, I'd rather know the bad things about myself now than when I come to the end and all of a sudden, spiritually, all of a sudden find out or know what is ahead for me. And so she called back in a little bit. She said they're going through that process, and if there is something that is out of order, then they plan to put a stent in. They had done that to her one other time about 25, 30 years ago, I think, and it worked fine. And so she called back later and she said, well, they say that there's nothing blocked. The most blockage that there would be was very little, like 20%, nothing blocked. Her heart is weak. It's during the night, it was in and out of fib. And so they're going to change some of her medicine and give her a blood thinner. And so all these things were taking place. And, you know, a lot of things start running through your mind when these things come around. It's sort of like Paul and the ones that were in the churches that he ministered to. They loved him and they didn't want to see him go. And they knew that he was going to not be with them one of these days, that he wouldn't be there to admonish them, to preach the truth to them. Aren't you glad for when preachers will preach the truth and not run around the bush and you can't tell right what they mean, but they're sort of trying to please everybody? I'm glad that we can know that this is God's word and this is the truth, and this will stand. Not one jot or tittle will fall away. The earth and everything passes away. God's word will still stand, and it will stand us in good stead in this side of eternity. And as we pass down through that time when we leave this world behind, however we leave it, we may go suddenly, like some of the folks that did just this last week. All of a sudden, that truck ran full speed right into the back of the pickup and squished it between the other pickup, and two people went out in eternity just like that. Two people went out in eternity in just a moment. There was no lingering in a hospital or no lingering on a deathbed. They were gone. And whatever they had prepared for was done. The preparation was all over in a moment of time. But we don't know exactly how we're going to leave this world. A lot of us will go in different ways. Some of us, it may be that the body just wears out and cannot go on any longer. And the heart stops and they say it's a heart attack. And it is proclaimed to be a heart attack. In reality, it's just a worn out body, a worn out heart. And it goes, the spirit goes to meet God, the one who gave life in the first place. Well, then something got my attention. I called. I thought, well, I wonder if her sister in Springfield knows that she's in the hospital. We're thinking about the immediate family, and my sister would call me and my other sister, and we all were keeping in contact, and we would call the children, let them know. But I wondered if they had called, so I called her, and no, they hadn't mentioned to her that my mother was in the hospital. And, you know, we talked about serious things. And we talked about she's just turned 80 years old. My mother's 87. And all of us are getting down towards the end. Things are a little bit different in our lives anymore. Sometimes you don't do some of the same things that you used to do. I don't get on a horse these days and go out galloping down across the field like I used to. Afraid if I'd fall off, that'd be the end of me. I wouldn't be just like some of these young ones. They fall off and bounce back up, and away they go again. So things are different in our lives. But she made this one statement, and I thought about it. I know that Mom is thinking about leaving this world. And she knows that she's older than her father and older than her mother and a lot of the others. And she knows her time is short at the very longest. And she'll say different things about it. You know, she thinks about some of those things. And so my aunt said to me, she said, you know, she asked me some time back, she said, Wonder what it'll be like to die. Wonder what it'll be like if you'll know that you're dying, if it'll just happen. She said, when you go to sleep, you don't know when you go to sleep. You lay down and you're sleeping, and next thing you know, it's morning time. Or if you get up during the night. I wonder what it'll be like to die. She's thinking about those things. And you know, it would be good if people, young people, middle-aged people, old people, would think about those things before they get down there. Paul had properly prepared. He fought a good fight. He received the faith. He kept the faith. And he's looking forward to a crown of righteousness to the ones that were looking for the Lord's appearing. And my mother has tried to live a holy life. She, if it wasn't for her, I probably would not be here this morning in any way. They didn't come from a conservative church in any way. She came from a church where they cut their hair off and just did whatever. And she tells me about when she realized that she needed to have long hair and how she'd never had it like that. Sometimes we don't realize it when we come from families that never went through these things. But she tried to started letting it grow out and then trying to figure out how to fix it and how to make it stay right. And this was all new to her, and she went through struggles like that. She used to be just wearing short sleeves, and it was a struggle for her when she started wearing long sleeves. And but she was walking in the light. She was wanting to do what was right. She wanted to please the Lord, and that was the greatest desire of her heart. And I believe that she tried to pass that on to her family, that it's not just a preacher with a club trying to club you into line, but it's loving God with all your heart and loving to do what He says, studying the Word, staying as close to the Lord as you can. Don't push the borders. Don't crowd the fence. Don't straddle the fence. But stay as far away from that awful abyss of eternity without God, staying away from it, fearing, fleeing the wrath to come, staying close to God. And that's what we were taught as we grew up. My father was raised up in a godly home. but he was not a Christian for some of his early life. He went into the army, and they was right in the middle of World War II, and the Japanese were taking over. They took over the Philippines and taking over this and that. He was right on the ship, and he says he thinks it was just the mercy of the Lord that he didn't end up having to kill someone. He didn't want to kill anyone. But here he was, right in the middle of this war machine. He was taught that he was to do his part. And their ship came right out around by the Philippine Islands. And he was ready to, he would have been right with the infantry soldiers that would have gone in to fight the Japanese. But the captain turned to him as they were going off the ship, and he said, "Burke, you stay on the ship." Did that just happen so? I don't think so. In fact, I know it didn't. All things work together to good for those that love God and called according to his purpose. And here was someone that was seeking the Lord at that time. And the infantry soldiers went in, and they had a horrible battles on the Philippine Islands. And then when they came back and the battle was won, then he had to go in with the others and help clean up. And they had simply dug huge holes in the ground and taken bulldozers and pushed the bodies in by the thousand and put a little deal on each one, so many dead here. You think war is play, or war is our responsibility to be involved in as Christians, to hurl men's souls out into eternity, one after another, hundreds and thousands of them out into eternity, because of selfish men wanting to have their way back and forth? And so his life changed, and as a boy, you know, the theater man came into our business and invited me to come down to the theater, the drive-in theater. And I told him, "Well, no, I want to make it to heaven." And I don't know what all the words were, but it didn't please him. And he said, "Well, I'll just take my business elsewhere." But I remember my father had told me that my grandfather had taught the boys, they weren't to go to the theaters. They weren't to look at that kind of stuff. And sometimes the boys were not where they should have been. They'd slip down and crawl in the fence, and they'd watch, you know, about the same way as some people go on to Walmarts. And one time we came into Walmarts, and there were a whole bunch of TVs there, and don't you know, here were a bunch of plain people, young people standing there just with their eyes just glued to those TVs. They didn't even notice we came in or anything. But thank God for parents that are willing to take a stand against sin, against ungodliness, and they know that there's immorality, there's killing, there's all kinds of bad things to be seen on those things. They were willing to take a stand back there. And it paid off, because he passed it on to us that we were absolutely not to watch television under any circumstances, that it was bad, that it was terrible. We went to stay. We very seldom would they ever leave us with anybody. Usually the family went together. There wasn't any babysitting. We as a family went, or if we weren't welcome, then nobody went. But they had us with some Christians, but the Christians were at their parents' house, and in the parents' house there was a TV. And they said they were amazed at us. They told my parents afterwards that there was a TV going on there, but your children would not look at it. They looked away all the time. They wouldn't look at that thing. Thank the Lord for faithful parents. If you've got faithful parents, Every day you need to get down beside your bed and thank God for somebody that's concerned about your soul, somebody that's not wanting just to go by the easiest way, not have a confrontation with you, but someone that is concerned about your soul and wants to see you make it safely through. And when you cross this line of worlds and leave the old earth behind, that you'll have a place prepared throughout all eternity. Well, he said that he had fought a good fight. Paul said he had fought a good fight, that he had finished his course. He kept the faith, but there were some that had forsaken him. Demas loved the world, and he left. And different ones left. Now I'd like to look back, thinking still yet about the question, you know, what will it be like for me to die? What will it be like for me? Not the one sitting beside you or anything else, but yourself and me. What will it be like for me to die? Sometimes we put things on the back burner. Sometimes we get to be pretty good procrastinators in this world. But there's one thing we don't want to procrastinate about, is getting ready for leaving this world. Because it's final. When we take our last breath, then that's it. Our opportunity is gone. Now is the time for our preparation. Now is the time for us to get serious about living. Now is our time for us to take time to be holy, to take time to get along with the Lord. If you don't, if you are Christians, if you don't take time to keep your Christian life up, you're going to backslide, you're going to lose out, and you won't make it to heaven. There's no halfway business about this. The ones that are riding the fences, the ones that are playing with the world, the ones that are doing things that are questionable, the ones that are doing things that they don't want other people to see or know about, they are not going to be in heaven. They're not even going to start to get there. The scripture says that let these things not once be named among the people of God. And he named a whole lot of things very specifically that would pretty well cover about anything that we can think about. What would it be like for me to die? I picked up this little book, and it's been around for a long time, Dying Testimonies of Saved and Unsaved. How many of you have that in your library at home? Okay, a number of you have it. You know, there's some things that you need to get, some good books. We need to have good missionary stories and good stories. But there's things that are serious that we need to put there for our children to read. And I remember having looked at a number of these things, and I just noticed a couple things here that I thought I would just mention to you. This was during a prayer meeting. The pastor that was in charge, he remarked that he was a watchman upon the walls of Zion, and he felt that there was danger for someone that was there. He didn't understand why he was impressed that way. Sometimes we don't understand exactly why we're preaching a certain message, but the Lord knows. You know, you think, well, you should preach this kind of message this time, this kind of message this time, and so on and so forth. But if we're just preaching to talk or give a speech, that's that. But if we want to preach what we, each one of us need, then God knows what we need. Well, there was a very irreligious woman that was there. And she shook hands with the preacher and sort of laughed. And she went out. And everything that could be done for her relief was done. In less than an hour, right there before she ever left the church, she became violently ill. And in less than an hour, she passed into eternity. And before she died, she tore her hair. She cast aside the trashy things that she had on her face. that adorned her person, of which heretofore she had been very fond. And she threw up her hands and she cried aloud for mercy, exclaiming, O Lord, have mercy on me. O Lord, have mercy on me. And in this distress, she went out into eternity. She never even was able to get out of there. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I like the words of the godly people, the godly ones. And Matthew Henry, a lot of you use his commentary. He was a godly man. And there were things in there that really will help you spiritually if you don't put them before the Scripture, and follow the Scripture first of all. But there are things that can add. It's like having a godly counselor, a godly man that helps expound on some of these things. And we certainly don't just go by commentaries, but you want to beware of a lot of these new commentaries that are put out by textual critics and skeptics. Some people that if you looked at them and their family, you would pitch the commentary immediately. So we need me to be careful. I remember I went one time, it was noted in the newspaper that there was a minister that was selling his books. And I was just a young fellow, probably in my late teens, and I thought, well, maybe there'd be some good books there. And I heard him just before I was looking around. He was talking to someone else, and he mentioned about this book and this book. Well, those were ancient writers, and some of the things they said we don't believe anymore, and that kind of thing. He was doubting the things that I was interested in. As soon as they would move out of the way and he talked like that, I would look to see if that's what I wanted. And it was in that very place that I found a set of commentaries. I've told you this before, but my father had run onto some old commentaries in a bookstore, and they really seemed good. And I had just prayed in my prayer one day that if the Lord wanted me to, I would like to have those commentaries. I felt like there would be something to be good. They were old Methodist commentaries, and I went into this man's place where he had his library and was selling it. He was a Baptist man. And I said to him, I said, you wouldn't happen to have any Benson commentaries, would you? Well, me asking a Baptist man if he has some Methodist commentaries, no, he don't have. He probably didn't even, I figure, even know who that was. Well, I was looking around and just getting ready to go out, and here was a table with books laid that I guess people had already picked out. And I looked over here, a set of commentaries, and I looked at them. And here was a whole set of Benson commentaries right there, old commentaries, leather bound. And somebody had spoken for them, and I didn't know. I asked him, well, you know, this is what I was looking for right here. And I'd prayed about that earlier. Does God answer prayer? Absolutely, He answers prayer. When our prayers are not to consume it on ourselves, and we're doing it for His glory, God answers prayer. And here was some old Methodist commentaries in a Baptist preacher's library that he didn't even know were there, and he'd already had somebody interested in them. And I said, well, let me give you my name and number, and if the young preacher, whoever it was that had bought them, would happen not to want them or something, call me. I'd really be interested in them. And you know what I did? I went home and started praying about it. And it is important that we have good books to put before our children and have a good library. They're starting the church library downstairs. That's a wonderful thing. But we each one ought to have a family library. And your children ought to see how wonderful it is to read good books. The young men and young women both should have their own libraries. They should start picking up some good books that mean a lot to them. And so I prayed about it. And don't you know, I don't know if it's just a couple of days when the phone rang. And he said, this is so-and-so forth, Reverend so-and-so forth. This was the preacher. And he said, you know that set of commentaries you was looking at? Yes. He said, I talked that young preacher out of them commentaries. He said, I told him that you needed them worse than he did. I probably did. But I thought I did. I mean, I thought that's I really wanted them. And I said, okay, I'll be right down for them. And I don't know, for that whole set, I think maybe I paid $30, $40. And each book, big, thick books that are just loaded with good things. Well, get back to my point. I was thinking about Matthew Henry. And he was someone that really took a stand for what we believe today. And he was stricken with some kind of a disease on one of their trips and was taken into one of the brothers' homes. And he was so sick, he said, pray for me. For now, he said, I cannot pray for myself. He was so deathly sick. And they put him to bed, and he spoke of his excellent spiritual comforts in a time of affliction, and blessed God that he enjoyed them. And then to his friend there, he addressed him, and he said, you know, you've been used to taking notice of the sayings of dying men. And, you know, that's one thing a lot of times we'll say, well, what did they say? Did they say anything just before they passed away? And we listen. We want to know, what were they thinking about then? What did they say? And he said, this is mine, that a life spent in the service of God and communion with Him is the most comfortable and pleasant life that one can live in the present world. And about 5 o'clock, he had an awful spell with whatever it was that he had. And he lay speechless from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and his eyes fixed, and he slipped out into eternity to be with the Lord. So we think about, what about the experience, going through the experience of death? What will it be like to die? And it's not the same for everybody. Some people go out immediately. Others lay on a deathbed, and some of them are paralyzed and can't talk. You don't know what they want. You try to get them what they want to comfort them, but they can't even express themselves to tell you what they need. Others are in severe pain and agony until finally they slip out into eternity. Some people, you see them just sort of like, looks like they're withering away, like they're not going to be here very long. And you wonder how they're here. There's a woman down at Rogersville right now, a little lady. She's, I don't know how tall she is, not very tall. Her daddy was 6 foot something. And he was, I think he was in his early hundreds when they found him one day. He was up in a tree cutting around a wire because the wires were going to interfere with the tree. So he was around 100 years old, and here he was up in the tree. He climbed a tree. At that age, well, if we're 100 years old, probably most of us would never be able to get up in the tree. But he passed away when he was about 106, I think it is. And his daughter, which lives down at Rogersville now, she's over 100 or right at it. And she's just a little shriveled up woman. And she just sort of, it's like she just gets less and less of her all the time, just getting closer to eternity. How will it be for us? But maybe the most important thing is, after we've crossed the line of worlds, is on the other side. What will it be over there? What's on the other side? And the scripture tells us very clearly. And I'm going to turn back, if you want to look back into Luke, the 16th chapter. what happens immediately after death. And we were talking about Matthew Henry, and I thought, my, this is so different from what we hear a lot of people preach today. But he penned these words: the rich man's state is miserable. He is in hell. As the souls of the faithful, immediately after they are delivered from the burden of the flesh, are in joy, so wicked and unsanctified souls, immediately after they are fetched from the pleasures of the flesh by death, are in misery and torment. He was hard-hearted to God's poor, and therefore he is not only cut off from mercy, but he has judgment without mercy. Judgment without mercy. How would that be to where that we actually are enemies of God because we despise Jesus? We despise what he stood for. He was the humble, the lowly Galilean that walked those dusty trails down there and preached the truth. He was smitten. He was accused. He was everything that was done to him. And yet he did what God had called him to do. He went out among those who were downtrodden and those that were pressed down. And he went to the kings. He went wherever. And people have rejected Jesus. And in rejecting Jesus and taking their own way, they reject the Heavenly Father and the gift that he gave. And the wrath of God is opened without measure. There was one little fellow that I wanted to mention here before going on. This was a little fellow that probably was not even, I'm sure, even to the age of accountability, 6 years old. And he was talking to his mother. He said, "Mama, seems to me I wouldn't want to die." When asked why, he said, "Well, I wouldn't want to leave you folks, but when I suppose I would be very happy in heaven. And Mama, I would watch over you." It's like a little fellow, just what he would do if he would leave. He was just expressing himself. And he said, too, he said, "Mama, I don't want any little lamb on my tombstone, but I want a little boy lying in the grass, so you, as you have seen me, lie in the summertime when I am tired out with play." And she said, "He's never seen anything like that." She didn't know where he got the idea, but that's what they put on his tombstone. And they were talking about it. And he told them he was getting pretty sick. He said, they asked him how sick he was. Well, he said, "I think Jesus is going to take me to heaven to live." And he said, there's just like sort of an angelic holy rapture came over his face with a radiant smile. And they talked about these things, and he told them what he wanted to do with his toys and his books and his Sunday school cards and all his things. And then he mentioned to them that he loved the one that wrote this about him. He loved that person. And so his little brother told him that his daddy had gone to get the doctor, and he says, "Well, I'd rather that Jesus would take me to heaven than for Dr. Tappan to make me well." And then he grew quite restless. And his mother had told him, she says, "You know, we don't see things that somebody that's dying sees." But she said, "If when you're dying that you see Jesus," said, "just let us know. We'd like to know if you see Jesus." And he said, "Well, what if I can't talk?" He said, "If I can't talk, she said, just point up." And so he came down to the very end. And they were all gathered around the bed, and the parents were weeping. at this time, and he's lying very still, and all of it once one little hand was raised and he pointed upward for a moment. He'd been laying there for a good while and not said anything. And his dear lips tried to move, to speak. And they said, "Willie, do you see Jesus?" And his hand dropped back down to his side and his breath became shorter. And he slipped out into eternity. He couldn't talk, but he did his best to let them know that he'd seen Jesus. Jesus was faithful. And let me tell you today, what he says, every word of it is true. And he's going to be faithful to the very end. He'll be faithful to the one that puts their trust in him. And you may look odd to the world. You may look peculiar. But if you love him, he'll be there standing and waiting for you at the end. But he's also faithful to the ones that reject him, that their end is horrible beyond understanding. So it's with us all today here in the land of the living, in the time when we can make choices, to make the right choices, and don't regret it when we come down to the end.